Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be. You can see it on the screen. I'm excited about being with you this morning. My whole life I've wanted to be like Bill Wade, and today we wore the same coat. And outside of being an I'm not an Alabama fan, so outside of that, I love Bill, love Jared. I'm thankful to be here today. So I'm excited about this. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be. In my intro here, I wrote this. Several years, we've been going to Maywood with you guys, all the Henderson kids, and we love you guys. I know there's probably a couple weeks during the year where Chester County plays Hardin County, and y'all hate us and back and forth, but at camp, we love each other most of the time. There's several reasons why I'm here today. Number one being I was hoping David Jackson cooked something. Where is he? Did you cook something? Oh, man. Anyway, I'm still here. We eat food at camp that is not camp food. If you've never been, just come and hang out because it's good. We gain weight. But seriously, I'm encouraged by you being here today. This lesson today is one that I've done before, so I feel comfortable with it. But I want a full disclosure here. I forgot my Bible this morning. True story. Left the house, grabbed one. We all have several. But what I want to talk about this morning is the red letters. I don't know that there's anything that I'm going to say this morning that you've never heard before. But I want to challenge you something that was really my spiritual journey last year, and then the worship hour will be a little bit different. But I am a little bit worried anytime. I'm going to quote Matthew chapter 5 in a minute. And I've been a little bit worried about that because I'm working on round two of COVID fog. But I want to tell you a little bit about this, and I'll get in my intro here. 2021 spiritual resolution for me. I've been reading through the Bible for several years with one of my youth groupers that has kind of graduated, gone to college. And I was trying to decide, you know, what I wanted to do for the year, right? A lot of people start out with these plans at the beginning of the year. I want to lose weight. I want to do this. I want to do this. And usually at the end of January, the gyms are back to normal, right? I didn't want that to happen on my spiritual journey, and I'm going to kind of get to that, but that's what I'm sharing about this morning. Have you ever thought about all the useless stuff that's in your head? Maybe. I'm going to tell you a little bit about 90s country in a second, but I want to tell you about the things that I grew up with, and I don't know where my wife went. Where is she? She's hiding back there. Oh. I'm thankful to have married someone who loves the Lord more than I do. I know this is a youth emphasis day for any of us, especially young people. Make sure you date someone who loves the Lord. Make sure you marry someone who will challenge you in the way that my wife has challenged me in what we're talking about today, even when she hurts my feelings about it. But for years, all of us know, right? Maybe you grew up hearing songs. I'm driving a group of Mighty Oaks in a week or so to an Eagles performance here in Journey, right? Some of y'all may be going. They're going to be rocking out, some of our older folks, I know. But some of those songs, you will never forget them, right? These are things I grew up with, right? If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have what? Everybody knows that. Henderson, it doesn't matter, right? I grew up with that. All of those songs. Remember going to concerts, right? It's ingrained in your mind, right? That I was baptized in a little different way with these guys at some point, right? I saw the light. Brooks and Dunn, I'm telling you my childhood, which is terrifying. I've always known words to this movie, or Joe Dirt, or Happy Gilmore, whatever it may be, okay? How about this guy? I had a lot of this memorized. I can't tell you why, but I know it, right? Anybody ever played this video game? We're dating some of y'all, right? Over 20-something years ago, started playing that video game on old school Nintendo, all right? I don't know if y'all remember, but I think it was up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start. Chad's with me right here. That's how you got unlimited lives. I can't tell you why I know that, but I know that. I think I got most of that. If I missed it, come talk to me. But we know these things, and I don't know why they don't leave your memory. And for years, this is where I'll flip the switch, I guess, but for years, my wife has been saying something like this. Because she's up there, she can't remember anything, okay? Why don't you memorize something that matters? I didn't think you'd laugh at that, but all right. She's been telling me that for years, and I'm so thankful for her. And it took me a while because I'm slow. But December of the year before last, because this was last year's spiritual journey, I decided, and I heard this video. I'm going to show you the 3-minute video really quick from Randy Harris. So a friend sent me this video when I was trying to decide what I wanted to do for the year. I've been reading through the Bible, but if I'm being honest, I was kind of stuck spiritually, like, you know what, I just keep doing the same thing. And I get to Leviticus, and it gets weird again, you know? I didn't, thought you might laugh at that one, but anyway. All right, it does. If you read it, it's made a lot of people maybe quit reading the Bible or whatever else, but a friend sent me this video. We're fixing to bring it in. I want you to watch it. I want you to turn to Matthew 5, and I want you to think about right now in your life, what are you putting in your heart?
Sermon on the Mount. That's why I memorized it. That's why I make my students memorize it. Because I want to crawl into their hearts and lives so deep that when everything else is gone, it's still there. When you get to the end of the sermon, we're starting with the end of the sermon because that's incredibly clever.
Had a friend send me that. Got my wife saying, why don't you memorize something that matters, you know, carrying that with me. He sent me that, and I thought about it for a day or so. And I remember sitting down and just talking to God. I knew I could do it, because I can memorize all kind of stuff. Right? Forget my anniversary, but I can memorize stuff, you know? I remember talking to God, and I remember saying, I'll do it. for the first time in my life, I've been a minister. I went to school across the road. I've been telling people for years to study to show yourself approved. Reading verses, like telling folks that God's word, it's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. Reading verses like Hebrews 4 that talk about God's word. It's living and it's active in the power of the word. But since fifth grade, by the way, in fifth grade, we learned the 23rd Psalm in Savannah. But since fifth grade, if I'm being honest with you, I hate to say this, but here goes. I haven't really taken God's word all that serious, even as a minister. Maybe some of you have the ability to hear things and learn them, but I was sent that and I was challenged so much that I said, I'm going to do it. Took me about 3 months. I love to fish. It's my favorite thing in the world. I didn't go fishing until I learned it. I've never done that in my life. I spent every day learning it, reading it, writing it. I look like the craziest person in the world driving down the road talking to myself, okay? But I learned it, and it was hard. And I had some COVID fog going on combined with it, but I wasn't going to give up because I knew I could do it. And the more that I did it, the more I wanted to be filled with God's word, because for years I've been telling folks that's what they need to do. I'm nervous because I've got all these Bible faculty in here. I'm fixing to quote Matthew 5. I know Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and I'm not going to lie to you. I have a 5-digit code to get into my truck. It's in the notes in my phone because I have COVID fog, so we'll see how this goes. I said it this week. This summer, I'll get to this later. I learned John 15, but maybe you're out there this morning and you have that ability and you've never done that. Maybe some of you have done that. And I'm not. I don't want to be here today to talk about being a biblical encyclopedia or anything. It's really more shame of why did I spend so many years just talking about God's word and reading verses, but not really putting it in the center of my life and the center of my heart. We'll kind of get to some of that. Matthew 5. I learned this in the ESV, and then the Dustin version comes out a little bit because I jump, okay? See, in the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, for it brings light to all in the room. So therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear until all the law is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it said, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, anyone who is angry is liable to the judgment. Anyone who insults his brother is liable to the council. And anyone who says, you fool, is liable to a hell of fire. So if you're taking your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother and then offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going to court with him, lest he hand you over to the judge and the judge take you to the guard and the guard puts you in prison. For I tell you, you will never get out until you paid every last penny. You've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I say to you that anyone that looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, tear it out, and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. You have heard that it was said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You have heard that it was said, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made. But I say to you, do not make an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even a single hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them your left as well. And if anyone sues you and takes your tunic, give to them your cloak. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who will borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do this? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do this? Therefore, you must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. My mouth's getting dry up here. I did it. Hooray. I want to talk about it, okay? I know, and if I was in college and somebody would have done that, I'd been back there in the back making fun of them, and I'm fine with that if that's what you're doing, okay? My life will never be the same because of this. And right, the church is in a different way. I'm going to talk about that later. But it's been a hard couple years on the church. It's been a hard couple years on me. And I want to tell you something, church. I've been carrying that around with me. And I have never done that in my life. I'm emotional, and I'll probably lose it in a second. But I've struggled. And there's no telling how many times I've just had to pull up God's word and just keep saying it. Because I didn't know what else to do. And before, I might be just flipping out or trying to figure it out. I had this ability, and what's so frustrating to me, and I can't do anything about it now, but I had the ability the whole time to put this in my heart, and I didn't do it. But I want to share a few things that, as we have the time left, a few things, just the takeaways from this. What do you treasure this morning? There's so many points you can make. I'm going to make four really quickly, but as I think about this, what do you treasure? There was a verse in this, Matthew 6:21 right there. I don't want to say it haunted me, but I've thought about it so many times. We all know what we want to know. We do what we want to do. And we live in a world that's moving so fast, and there's so much information flying around there, and it's so hard to know. And that's why I entitled this The Red Letters, because if there's something we need to be filling our life with, it's not more TikTok, right? It's not more social media. It's not more busy. It's just letting God speak into our life. And I can tell you, I did that. I would have quoted the whole thing, but y'all would have been asleep, and I didn't want to do that. But it's not just about knowing it, right? We're going to get to that in a second. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I want to ask you this morning, personally, everybody, where is your heart? You know, one of the things that bothers me, I guess, is just that idea of thinking about getting to the end of your life. Maybe some of you are closer than others, right? None of us know. And just figuring out for yourself that you went through life and you cared about all the wrong stuff. What do you treasure? I've been carrying this around with me, and I needed it, and it was just such a timing thing, but I watched that video, and I wanted to do what I've always done and just run away from it, but I took it on. And I'm so thankful that I did. Verse there in Luke says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Sometimes people say, they got a potty mouth. The Bible tells us that they have an ugly heart. And in the world today, for Christians, for us to think about what we need to be about, it needs to be about having a God-centered heart that the world can see. I want to challenge you to think about what you treasure. Number two, the second thing is that we have a higher calling. Matthew 5 there, it says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, right? I think sometimes there's several things. Maybe we see the finished product of folks from a younger person's perspective, and we think, well, I'll never get there. And I'll tell you, when I did this at Savannah, there's all kind of people. You can just guess what they come up and say. Multiple people came up and said, Dustin, that was great, man. but I'm too old. First thing they said. One of our 80-year-old members heard my lesson that day, and he learned it quicker than me. Isn't that crazy? How about a challenge? Y'all call me when you get it. All right, I'm just saying, you don't have to do it. Maybe yours would be something different, but we always have an excuse. My whole life I've had them. Well, I would do this. Or maybe we compare ourselves to the wrong people. We have a higher calling. Not you could, you might, or you need to try harder, but Jesus tells them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We live in a world right now where we need Christians to stand up. You know, I thought about young people that have had a summer of Mid-South and Maywood and camps and trips. They've been singing. I love the Henderson Group. They love to sing. We do as well. But what happens when you go back to school? What happens when you go back to work? What happens when you join a team or you're in transition? We need to be reminded that we have a higher calling. I also thought about that idea of who are you listening to? Right? So much noise out there, so many voices possibly in our head. And I know I could be preaching to the choir this morning, right? But we can all do a better job of this. Who are you listening to? Just took a mission trip to Chattanooga with our young people. One of them's here. She's a back row Christian over there. But one of the things that was interesting, and she knows what I'm going to say, but you get people away on a mission trip and a lot of things can happen. Like you find out too much about each other, right? You get to the end, you're like, you know what? I'm about ready to have my own mission trip at home. You know, like there's just a lot going on, right? We had no issues, no drama, none of that. And I think the main thing was we started every day reading the Bible together, and we finished every night singing together and praying together. Now think about that. We're going to look at a different point in a second, but I think some of the reason why maybe we struggle loving our enemies, some of the struggle maybe for us, and you know what, I know I tell people to forgive all the time, but I'm not going to do that. The world sees that, and I think we've got to be so mindful of that, and I've been right there with you. If we're not spending time with God, we're hearing the wrong side of the story. I hear Christians say that all the time. All the time. I know I need to read my Bible more. What happens if we just always have good intentions and never do anything about it? I want to challenge you that with this morning. Maybe some of y'all have memorized this. And I'll say this, you can memorize it and completely not live it and just that be useless. But what happens to a group of people that spend their time every day, young people, old people, all of us, whoever, letting God speak into us? Talking to God, letting God talk to us through His Word, and then going out, and then maybe encounter this guy at work that's hard to deal with, or this boss that you don't like, or whatever drama you may have going on in your life. It's like, you know what? I started my day with God, and He told me that I'm the light of the world, and He told me to love my enemies. Third thing I want to say is that Jesus has asked us to do some tough stuff. Y'all are supposed to say amen, I think, but He has, right? Like, don't worry. You ever had anybody tell you that? Just don't worry, man. Like, you know, we all want to punch that person in the face, don't we? Not only are we not going to turn the other cheek, but we may start swinging when someone says that. Like, that doesn't help anything. Don't worry. But when Jesus says it, think about it. He's asked us to do some tough stuff right here in these three chapters. Don't lust. Don't be angry. Someone mistreats you. Let them do it again. We live in a world where that doesn't happen, does it? If we're not uncomfortable as a Christian, we're probably not doing a very good job. And we kind of get stuck. Maybe you've been going to church your whole life. You've been doing this church scene for a whole life. But you've never really taken God's word, put it in your heart, and just said, hey, let's try our best to live it. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to read this and learn it and be perfect. But He's asked us to do some tough things. Later on, He's going to say, if you want forgiveness, then you've got to give it to others. I want you to think about that, church. I want to share, we did a lesson, a series of lessons one time on a Wednesday night class. And this sounds really cliche and really simple, but we just read the Bible and did what it said. Right? It's a new concept. You know, we should try it. We did. We just read it just simply because I think if we're not careful, we'll just get together in these gatherings. We'll put on our nice clothes. We'll come together. We'll come in here. We'll open up the Word, and we'll be bored for 45 minutes or an hour or however long. because we're used to a fast-paced deal, or maybe we treasure the wrong stuff, or maybe we're tired, or whatever that may be. But we did a lesson, series of lessons of just reading God's Word and then just do what it says. That sounds crazy simple. But I can't ask young people to do that and me not do, in turn do the same thing. There's some folks in here this morning that need to offer forgiveness to someone. No doubt. Sound really judgmental. I'm going to leave. Y'all can judge me next. I'll be at Savannah, right? Just think about it, okay? I was the same way I did this. My dad left our family when I was 6 years old, 31 years ago. Wow, sounds crazy. I was raised by a single mom. I've been telling people to forgive each other. Never had that conversation with my dad until we had this class. And what we've got to all think about is either our faith is going to be this cute Hobby Lobby sign, or it's going to be really what we do in our life. And I'm telling you, as I read this, if you want forgiveness, you've got to give it. Read Ephesians. Forgive others just as Christ forgave me. Man, I want to forgive people on my terms. Don't you? I didn't really want to call my dad, but I can tell you I did because I was so challenged, and part of it came from just daily spending this time with the Lord. And he'd been waiting on that conversation. He started crying. He couldn't even respond. I said, Daddy, I don't know if you need to hear this, but I've got something I need to tell you. I forgive you. Church, the way God protects us in that way is that my dad needed to hear that, but I needed to do it 10 times more. Forgive others. We can't come in here and talk about these things and not do it. But if you think about it, you know, it's tough. Maybe you have an enemy or somebody in your life that you just can't stand. It's challenging, is it? I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do, that he didn't model, that he didn't live. How in the world can he be on the cross? How in the world, on his worst day, can he say things like, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He was worried about everyone else, and that's why he's the Lord, and we need to try to be like him. Who do you need to forgive? Maybe it's somebody you see in the mirror every day. I think for a lot of folks, maybe, but I have just spent so much time talking about these ideas and maybe every once in a while practicing them, and I still struggle mightily with this, but I'm trying. I hope you will as well. The last thing here that I want you to think about, I may get out of here quick, I don't know, is that we have to live it. Any English teachers in here? Raise your hand. Y'all are afraid to raise your hand, aren't you? Okay. I figured they wouldn't like this because I wrote, hearing it ain't enough, knowing God's word ain't enough, reciting it ain't enough. And then he finishes it the way, I had a teacher at Pickwick Southside, by the way, she charged you a dime every time you said the word ain't or used a double negative. I think she retired on it. Like none of us could talk right, okay? But if you think about this, we have to live it. And I think this is kind of the disconnect in church for all of us. I think it's some of the biggest struggle is that we live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world with people who do us wrong. We live in a world where I hear it all the time, more and more. People talking about going to family functions and not wanting to be there. Or dealing with this, or dealing with this. And we're going to look at that and during worship. But this is it. We have to live these things. And I can honestly tell you that for me, I was just going through the motions. And I went to school and I had this ability to put all of these good things in my mind, but for some reason, it's just Billy Madison or Joe Dirt. I don't know, but that's what was going on. It's music lyrics, right? And I want you to leave today and not listen to whatever kind of music that you like, all right? But there's something greater out there than Morgan Wallen. I'm looking at y'all like that's what you listen to. But you know what I mean? There is. There's something greater out there that we need to be filling our minds with. And this morning I ran off and I left it. I think it's in my office. But we all got four or five of them. Pick which version you want, right? This one's got large print. This one's got place to take notes or whatever. Jesus didn't want us to collect Bibles. He wanted us to read it put it in our heart, and He wants us to live it. Amen? Absolutely, I believe that, but there's still a struggle there. I love that He finishes this way. After He says all these wonderful things in this great sermon, right? He finishes it with a Bible school song that we sing. The wise man built his house on the rock, right? We sing it like this. The foolish man built his house on the sand. I don't know, I feel like I'm saying somebody safe when I say that. But he finishes it that way, okay? After saying all of these things, the wise person is the one that comes to these gatherings, the one that comes to worship every week, a couple times sometimes, and hears these words and goes out and does something with them. And I think for so many of us, maybe that's the disconnect of like, it's too hard. I don't really want to forgive that person. You know what they said about me? Do you know what they've done? Jesus says, in so many ways, working through this, He doesn't command us to understand it. Although we do know that faith comes by hearing the word, right? I think sometimes we think that faith comes by hearing it and warming a pew in our church building. And that's not how He ends this. He's going to go on in one part here and say, you want to know who's going to go to heaven? You want to know people who are going to earn that? What's He say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Think about what that means. Because I think sometimes we've equated our faithfulness to God by coming to church. Now, I've read Hebrews 10, and I know what it says too, but I think sometimes we leave our faith in this pew, and then we go to our ball team, and nothing changes. Is that possible? Absolutely. It was in my life. How about you? I think it's possible to hear sermons that challenge you or maybe have a summer where you encounter God and you leave everything at Hamilton, Alabama. Or maybe some of you have been doing church for so long and you're worn out and you're tired. You just want a nap, right? I love those shirts that say Jesus takes naps. Like, you know, it's like giving us permission. Take a nap. But when you wake up, serve the Lord. One of the things that's, you know, as you work in a church, and I'm just guessing it's happened here, I'll tell you one thing. We're having a hard time at Savannah finding Bible class teachers. How about here? The same folks in every church typically do the work, right? 80-20, 90-10, whatever. I wasn't good at math, Jared. All right? Whatever it may be, right? I want to challenge you with something this morning. We should all be lining up to teach God's word to young people. Do you believe that? Right? I mean, I know it's a struggle in our world today. I hate sign-up sheets. People don't use them or whatever. I'm coaching middle school basketball this year. I've coached rec league basketball. A big reason is because no one wants to do it. We live in a world that everybody wants to play rec league basketball and nobody wants to hear from parents, I guess. Okay? What happens when you have a church that can't find Bible class teachers? Like I said, we should be lined up because what is the greatest gift that you can pass on to the next generation? Telling them about the love of God. Telling them stories. We've got people who are struggling so much in their life with mental health, with their family. You know what they need to hear about? Stories like Jesus calming the storm. There's this storm going on and it's like nobody wants to tell them that there's a Savior that literally can just wake up and say, peace. Be still. Church, we have that. God lives in us. The question is, like, are we going to leave here and just go to our work and just act like nothing ever happened and nothing ever changed? I did that for so many years. I'm still guilty of it. How about you? I hope you'll have a bunch of people sign up to teach. That's not why I'm saying that this morning, okay? I just, as we think about it, sometimes it just feels like we're mad at all the wrong stuff. I'm frustrated with this, or I wish the church, you know what, we really need to sing more of these songs. We need more of this. We need more of this. We need more of this. We need more of people hearing it and people going out and people saying things like, I have this friend that goes to lunch with me all the time. He is someone who purposely and intentionally lives Galatians 5 and the fruits of God's Spirit. He lives it. So much so that you'd be like, what's wrong with my boy Roy? I mean, that's his name. So much so that when we're out to lunch, people say, like, when I think of somebody who has joy in their life, I think of you. So I think that's another part of this disconnect of like, man, I went to church Sunday morning, but I don't have any peace in my life. Or you know what? I'm not patient with anybody. Well, do we know about it, or are we practicing these things? There's not a lot of coaches that just show game film, right? You want to get fit, you just got to watch this video. Man, wouldn't that be nice? We'd all have a six-pack, right, rolling in here. Think about it. The wise person is the one that hears it and goes out and lives it. And that's a challenge I want us all to think about. It's a struggle for all of us. It's a struggle for me. But as I think about the Sermon on the Mount and what it's taught me, it's taught me so much about what I want is not the right things. We're going to look at that in a minute. I'm trying to not connect these. But I want you to think about this morning. What are you filling your heart with? If nothing changes in your Bible study, or the way that you take God's word and you go out and try to practice it in your every day, if nothing changes, where will you be in 6 months, in a year, in 5 years? How about this? If your kids inherit your faith, how's that going to go for them? Like I said, what if they get your prayer life? What if they get your joy, your peace? How do they see you being patient with the world around them? Because there's plenty of stuff for us to get mad at, right? Frustrated with, anxious about. And Jesus says, like, hey, don't worry. Just don't worry. Look at the birds, right? You're driving around looking at birds. I mean, what's he saying? I think sometimes we worry about the wrong stuff, and we can take 3 slides of our phone on social media and be depressed or down or whatever it may be. But I want to challenge you to hear something with this and go do it. And I don't. It doesn't have to be memorization. It could be just like, you know what? I really do need to call someone. You know what? I've never talked to my mom about that. I've never talked to my dad about that. Or you know what? I need to try to not talk about this, but be about this and live this. And so my prayer this morning for all of us is for you to do something with this. I had an older gentleman the first time I preached this say, you know, I've been going to church my whole life and I've never learned any of it, really. Got a Bible, but I've never learned it. Kind of struggles in his mind a little bit. He came back about a month later and he said, I learned the Beatitudes. He said, I'm quitting there, but I learned the Beatitudes. You know what? I was so encouraged by that. Think about that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you doing it? Am I doing it? The world tells us what being blessed is and what it, you know, if you've really made it or you figured it out in life, you know, here you go. God's example of that is so different. So that's my challenge this morning is for you to think about that. And maybe I want to put this bug in your ear a little bit. We're going to get out our phone during worship. And I want you to message someone today who never gave up on you. I want you to think about who that person is. It's been neat to preach this a few times and share this because what I'm going to be talking about next is just kind of where my mind has been and what I've struggled with. Some of y'all may have seen that title and thought, just ain't feeling it. Like, number one, he can't spell, and what's he talking about? We live in a world right now that's maybe keeps saying that. Man, I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like forgiving someone. I don't feel like loving people who don't love me back. We're going to look at that in a little bit, but I want you to think about somebody this morning that you can message that never gave up on you. Maybe you had a parent that you saw model these things. You saw them reading their Bibles. So much of the Sermon on the Mount really is about whatever you do, make sure no one sees you do it. Right? It's so funny because I'm walking around being like, hey guys, guess what I memorized? Right? It was so backwards. But there is a part that says, let your light so shine before men. Live in such a way that when they see you, they see my son. What a challenge. Just that one verse right there today for us. This week, your coworkers, will they see Jesus Christ modeled in your life? A little bit cliche here, I know, but people say that you may be the only Bible that people see. However you want to say that. How about this week? What will you say and what will you do that will show someone that you are in love with the Lord and you're going to try your best to live for Him? We know what we want to know. All right? You throw a spinnerbait when it's windy, by the way. Okay? If you don't know what that is, ask some of our fishermen in here. All right? You know what you want to know. My wife's back there, and if she asked me to mow our yard with scissors before I was going fishing, I would do it. You know why? Because I love it. I love being out on the water. What happens when we put our passions in front of knowing God's Word? I love the conversation we're having today because it doesn't happen on accident. It doesn't happen, it takes time to learn this. You've got to put God's Word. You've got to daily be saying it. I threw a challenge out to our interns. No, your interns are here with you today. I threw a challenge out to our interns this summer. I said, I'm learning John 15 this summer. I'm trying my best. I said, I'm struggling with COVID, but I'm going to try to learn John 15. And you don't have to learn it, but you're going to have to read it with me every day we're in the office. And I left, and I was like, there ain't no way they're going to do it. They both came to me that afternoon and said, we're going to learn it. And we read it every day together, and we learned it. And every time I think about John 15, I think about them. And we're going to always have that. But what are you filling your heart with and your life with? And what happens if we do this church thing and nothing about our life changes? The things that we say, the things that we do, how we spend our money, how we love people. What happens if nothing ever changes? Why would people want a part of a gospel that doesn't change everything about you from the inside? I bought into that for a long time, and I hope this is challenged. I'm not saying I do not have all this figured out. I hope there's humility in this because my wife's back there. You can tell her how it's all working, okay? I struggle. Sometimes I wish you'd go in another room because I know that sounded awful. But I know that she knows my heart, and she knows that all this isn't modeled out perfectly. Goodness gracious, it's not. But this morning, what would happen if a church got on fire and said, and not just a lesson, but just in general, the things that you hear, go out and do those things. That's my challenge. Let's pray together. God, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this topic today, God. I'm thankful for that text message that came through for me to put your word in my heart, God. And I pray to do that. I pray that for every single one of us that's here, not to just memorize it or learn it or talk about it, God, but to live it. And that's our prayer, God. And the devil's going to get in the way and however he can. But God, I pray for us to have courage and wisdom and strength. Pray for these young people as they started back to school to carry their faith with them to school. For every one of us to live these things, God. And I pray that when we read your word, that it will challenge us and that we'll be convicted to live it. And God, I pray that for this church. I pray that for the convictions maybe in this room or what's happening. And God, I'm thankful for what you do, for your grace when we mess up, for your mercy. God, that your son did everything that he asked us to do. I pray that we will love those that we don't want to love and that we'll offer forgiveness, God. I pray that we'll live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.